We've done four already, but now we're steady. And then they went one, two, three, four. Welcome to Content Robots and Rock and Roll, your soundtrack to better content marketing. Now, here's your host, Mark Donner.
John Bonham originally spoke the words in the open to today's show to count off the beginning of The Ocean, the last track of Led Zeppelin's 1973 album Houses of the Holy. A few weeks ago, we talked about Pink Floyd's Dark Side of the Moon as it turned 50 years old. This week, we celebrate Houses of the Holy, which was released on March 28, 1973. What makes Houses of the Holy so special? Why was it considered such a departure from Led Zeppelin's previous four releases? What lessons can we take from the album as creators and content marketers?
So what do you think about Houses of the Holy, Mark?
You know, Super Space Robot, that's a good question. See, Led Zeppelin 3 is probably my favorite Led Zeppelin album. There were so many great songs on that one. Gallows Pole, That's the Way, Out on the Tiles, Since I've Been Loving You, which for a long while I considered to be my favorite Led Zeppelin track. And of course, Tangerine, which is a favorite and has been covered by lots of people.
I'll repeat. What do you think about Houses of the Holy, Mark?
I'm getting there. Led Zeppelin's first four records are iconic. You can draw a straight line from what guitarist Jimmy Page was doing with Jeff Beck and the Yardbirds to what started to happen with Led Zeppelin. Blues inspired rock and roll with a heaviness and urgency that hadn't really been reached by other bands of the time. Throughout those first four albums, they also incorporated English folk and American bluegrass, as well as themes that were mythical and mystical. And that really kind of formed and completed the Led Zeppelin sound. Of course, that culminated in Led Zeppelin 4, or Zoso, or simply Led Zeppelin, depending on how you want to describe the untitled record. But 4 is seen by the masses to be the pinnacle of Led Zeppelin's power, with tracks like Black Dog, Rock and Roll, When the Levee Breaks, and of course, Stairway to Heaven.
No stairway. Denied.
I'll say it one more time. What do you think about Houses of the Holy, Mark?
Houses of the Holy.
Finally. I thought he was never going to get there.
Okay, would you let me get there?
By all means, continue.
Houses of the Holy, as I was saying, marked a significant departure from what we had heard on those first four albums. It's been compared to the evolution of the mid-60s Beatles in some ways. Both bands kind of built on their music of the past, but branched out into new, more expansive, more experimental musical areas. Houses of the Holy saw Led Zeppelin branching out into various musical styles, funk, reggae, and progressive rock, among a few others. The experimentation gave the album a diverse and eclectic sound, but they also had lyrical themes that differed from previous versions. Led Zeppelin's earlier albums often dealt with themes such as love, sex, mysticism. Some of that was here in Houses of the Holy too, but it widened its range of subjects. For instance, the song Remains the Same explores the power of music. The Rain Song deals with love and longing. No Quarter has a darker, more introspective tone. But then the production had evolved as well. So the band was always experimental and innovated with their production styles, recording in different settings, different rooms, using kind of out-of-the-box techniques. And with Houses of the Holy, they continued that tradition with studio techniques and effects like layering of guitars and other instruments, adding phasing, adding echo. They used synthesizers on this album, particularly on No Quarter. It all resulted in a richer, more polished, and sophisticated sound, in my opinion anyway. Then there's the album artwork. Unlike the band's first four albums, which featured minimal or ambiguous designs, Houses of the Holy kind of put itself out there in a new way. The band had worked with London design house Hipgnosis, spelled H-I-P-G-N-O-S-I-S, to create something new, different, evocative, provocative. Hipgnosis had also been the creator of the Pyramid and Prism album cover for The Dark Side of the Moon, as well as a lot of Pink Floyd's early work. They went on to create art for a lot of bands throughout the 70s. A lot of your favorite album covers might be a product of Hipgnosis. So Houses of the Holy album cover is notorious for getting flagged and taken down from social media sites, so I'm not going to include an image of it here, like in the show notes or anything, although it'll probably be in the embed when I include the album. So I'll let you seek it out for yourself, though. Why is that? Well, Super Space Robot, can you describe the image for us?
Why do I always have to do the weird stuff on the podcast?
Maybe it's because you're a disembodied voice with no real sentience or agency of your own.
Rub it in, won't you? Okay, The Houses of the Holy album cover is what I would call, if I were human, a provocative image of naked, golden-haired children crawling and climbing up the rocks of Giant's Causeway in Northern Ireland.
Yeah, that's about right. It was and is still a controversial album cover designed to grab attention. The first four Zeppelin albums, from my point of view, were designed to let kind of the music do all the work. With Houses of the Holy, the cover artwork did a lot more of the work, leading listeners into the bands of all sound and style. It kind of matched what was on the music in a weird way. Whether these changes are a result of the band getting bored with their heavy blues-based rock music that they were known for, or their desire to just push new boundaries and take new risks, probably a combination of the two, actually. Houses of the Holy stands as a testament to the band's artistic growth and their ability to push the boundaries of sound while still maintaining their musical identity. It's important to note, though, that no matter how far they pushed, Plant's soulful vocals were still mesmerizing. Page's guitar work was soulful, bluesy, a little sloppy, but I mean that in the best way. I'm a huge Jimmy Page fan. John Bonham's driving, booming, heavy percussion was as important to the band's sound as Page and Plant were. And let's not forget John Paul Jones. People do often forget him. He's the other guy in Led Zeppelin. But his inventive bass lines were iconic and integral to the sound of Zeppelin. He built a pocket and a groove with Bonham that sets the foundation for that Led Zeppelin sound. It wouldn't be the same without John Paul Jones. So all that together, the fundamentals, you might say, of the Zeppelin sound didn't change, really, even when their music evolved. And with the benefit of 50 years of hindsight, we see that the Rain Song, No Quarter, and The Ocean, no matter how different they may have seemed to people at the time, how big of a departure they may have felt like, we can now look at them in the same light as Good Times, Bad Times, Stairway to Heaven,
No Stairway,
A Whole Lot of Love, Black Dog, and all of the other favorites.
Right on. But this is still a podcast about digital content creation, right?
Sure.
So what's Houses of the Holy got to do with content marketing?
It's got everything to do with it.
How?
Well, not everything, but a lot to do with it.
Why?
Well, as we've discussed, Houses of the Holy showcases the band's musical evolution, incorporating a variety of styles such as funk, reggae, and progressive rock. But it still kept that signature hard rock and blues sound for all of the reasons I just talked about and all of the people I just talked about. That's what applies to us. As storytellers, we can take risks. We can push the envelope. We can try new things as long as they're rooted in our fundamentals, our brand, our point of view, our story. Led Zeppelin stretched boundaries and took risks within the boundaries of their signature sound. Taking your audience on a new journey, opening them up to new ideas, is usually only successful if it's rooted in something that's familiar, useful, comfortable. Experimenting with new genres or new mediums within the content we create can be a way to stretch and grow our audience. But maintaining your consistent brand voice, style, and point of view is essential for maintaining and building trust and recognition with your audience. No matter what size your audience is, it was drawn to you for a reason. Your point of view, your expertise, your story. Finding creativity within those rails can allow you to create something that's truly special and different. But finally, Led Zeppelin's Houses of the Holy was not created in a vacuum. A lot of new and interesting music was coming out in the early 70s that influenced the band's sound. Pink Floyd was one. The progressive music of Genesis, Yes, King Crimson, ELP, certainly another. Reggae music and Bob Marley also had a profound impact. And of course, there's Jeff Beck, who did a whole other podcast on him back in January when he passed away. But he was continuing to push the envelope and obviously had an important and impactful influence on what Jimmy Page was doing in particular. Influence and inspiration is important. It's important to us as content marketers, as content creators. Led Zeppelin often took the concept of inspiration a bit too literally, and I'm actually going to cover that in the next episode of the podcast. But in general, influence and inspiration is important. It helps us to find better ways of communicating with and growing our existing audience. It helps us to build and not remain stagnant. In some cases, it helps us to get started, and it serves as a foundation for finding our own voice and our own point of view. But we'll talk about that all next time. I think there's some parallels that can be drawn between Led Zeppelin's songwriting process and the issues and complications we're facing with generative AI tools today, for instance. But more to come on that soon. To close, I think there's an emotional connection found in the music on Houses of the Holy that's somewhat different from what we hear on the earlier Zeppelin albums. Many of the songs on the album evoke strong emotions, such as Longing in the Rain Song, or Uplifting Spirit found in Dancing Days. Houses of the Holy takes on a journey that's different than the others up to that point, in my opinion. This is important to storytelling and experience, no matter what medium you're creating on. Building an emotional connection with your audience through the stories you tell is a crucial aspect of content marketing. And if done well, it can foster deeper engagement, brand loyalty, and advocacy. By embracing creativity, adaptability, inspiration, and emotional connection, rooted in our core fundamentals of brand, consistency, point of view, and story, we as content creators can create engaging, memorable content that breaks ground, stretches new boundaries, and most importantly, resonates with our audience in new and exciting ways. So that's Houses of the Holy at 50. I think that it's an important lesson to us as creators and storytellers. Hope you get something out of it. I'm going to link to Houses of the Holy in the show notes for the episode, both on Spotify and on Apple Music. Celebrate the album's 50th anniversary with me and give it a listen if you haven't before, or give it a listen if you have before with fresh ears. My favorite tracks on the album are The Song Remains the Same, The Rain Song, and No Quarter. I'd love to hear yours too. As an aside, did you know there is a song called Houses of the Holy by Led Zeppelin? It's not on this album, it's on the next one, Physical Graffiti. Weird, right? I always thought so. Super Space Robot, tell them where they can get a hold of us.
Hi, I'm your friendly neighborhood AI-generated announcer, Super Space Robot, telling you that if you have questions or comments about anything discussed today, send us an email at podcast@rockandrollreclaimed.com. You can also visit the website at rockandrollreclaimed.com for more information on any of today's topics and to subscribe to the newsletter. Don't forget to subscribe to the show in your favorite podcast player so you don't miss an episode. Thanks for listening. I'm just trying to find the bridge. Has anybody seen the bridge?